Hi, listener. We'd like a bit of help from you if you don't mind. You can now vote for us to win the Listener's Choice Awards at this year's British Podcast Awards. If you're listening to this before the 6th of July 2020, then go to britishpodcastawards.com/vote and search for Pop Detectives to cast your vote. We'd be very grateful. Thank you.
The music business was mean. Mean like Mariah Carey when her florist runs late. The road to fame was littered with broken dreams, broken hearts, and actual litter. And the air was thick with unanswered questions. In a grimy office above the noise and filth, two men worked tirelessly to solve these mysteries. Their names? Tony Blackburn and his young apprentice, Ricky Wilson. The sign on the frosted glass door? Ricky and Tony. Pop Detectives.
Okay, we're back in our offices. Your office at home and my office at home. What's your office like at home, Tony?
Well, it's a bit messy, to be honest with you. I've got a lot of stuff over here. I've got on my wall, I've got the record I opened up Radio 1 with, which was a presentation they gave me after 17 years and thanking me for my service. And I would have rather have had another year's contract, to be honest with you, but it's nice to have it up there.
Yeah.
And then I've got a picture of meeting Stevie Wonder, a picture of myself. In fact, I'm absolutely surrounded with memorabilia about myself, so I come in here quite a bit.
I saw Stevie Wonder on a Zoom chat recently, and he had a picture on his wall of meeting Tony Blackburn.
Oh, that's
maybe
nice.
It was the same picture.
Yeah, it was a big thrill for him, I know, because it was at Wembley.
Yeah. So they'd put on a big thing for the meeting. That's why they did it at Wembley, the meeting of minds.
Oh, I see. That's
have you got? Because I've got an office as well. But then Grace pointed out, it's just where all the suitcases get put when we're not on holiday. But Grace pointed out it's not an office because it's got no office stuff in it. So I've been ordering office supplies on the internet, and I didn't realise how much I like office supplies, because I've been in the music biz for a while, and there isn't that much need for staplers, cutting mats, hole punchers. So I missed out on that huge part of my life where I got to, you know, use office supplies, and now I'm knee-deep. Have you got a stapler?
So you're basically... Have I got a stapler?
A stapler.
Yes, I have.
Yeah, useful, aren't they?
Yes, I have got a stapler.
Yeah.
And I can, because we can see one another on the thing. Yeah. There it is.
Oh, it's a good one.
Yeah, I got a stapler.
It looks like
it's
the
nice
TB4000 you've got there.
Yeah. Right. And it's sort of... You can have fun with it. Ow, ow. That sort of thing, you know, open
very visual,
like that.
Very visual for a podcast.
Yes, it is visual.
Ricky and Tony, Pop Detectives, making music mysteries toast. French toast with a side of eggs over easy and some hash browns and pancakes with syrup.
Okay, enough of this chat.
Yep.
Let's get on to a case. Now, have you got an answer phone message there, Tony?
Let me see. I have, actually.
Oh, good.
And here it is.
Ricky, Tony, it's Jack Palmer here. Your eyes and ears in the party scene. Now, I've been at a few lavish do's in my time, but none of them live up to the reputation of them of Freddie Mercury. I heard that one of his birthday parties in Ibiza was so big they could see it from Mallorca.
Ooh, Freddie Mercury. So many myths about Freddie Mercury. Have you seen the film, the Bohemian Rhapsody?
I have seen it. I thought it was terrific. I loved it.
Amazing. I loved it.
And it's funny because I lived next door to Freddie Mercury for about 2 years.
Right.
And never met him.
What?
Never met him.
Really?
Never met
him. Did you see him taking out his bins?
No, I didn't see that. He lived in a big house. We were in a mews.
Okay.
I had a little mews house. He had two houses.
Yeah.
Actually, he had a big Mews house, and he had another house at the side, and all the journalists were outside for about a year when they knew that he'd he wasn't well.
Oh, right.
And they were out there in the street not realizing that he was going through his big house into a little Mews house, got into a car, and then went out and ducked in the thing, and that was it.
Wow.
And for a year the press were out there and they didn't know how he got out of the house.
So that's a great myth busted there. We should get the rubber stamp out here and now, but no.
Absolutely.
We'll go on because we want to talk about his parties. Now, we've all heard stories about the fabulous nature of his parties, and this one in particular was his 41st birthday party. in a place where I've been many times, which is the Pike's Hotel in Ibiza. The same hotel where they filmed the video to Club Tropicana by Wham.
Oh, yes, yeah.
And I've heard many myths about this, but have you ever been to one of Freddie Mercury's parties when you lived, you know?
Do you know, no, I've never been invited. I've been to Ibiza, I've appeared there, as you have. I've never been to Pike's, the hotel, but I've appeared at one or two clubs there. And in fact, I after I'd done my gig, I went to another club, I can't remember what it was called. I was the oldest person there, and I got very heavily into trance music.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know this about
you. On water. I'd only had water as well. I mean,
you never know what they put in the water.
Well, this trance music I found really, I mean, it's just that beat. And I went up to the DJ and said, why is it there's not much melody? He said, well, when the melody comes, everybody puts their hands in the air. Mm. And then if you keep that melody going for too long, their arms start aching. So it makes sense in a way.
Really? So you're into? Are you still into trance, or has that worn off somewhat?
It's worn off now. Yeah, I've grown up.
It does. Yeah, you go through. Everyone goes through a trance phase.
Yeah. Did you go? When did you go through a trance phase? Then
I'm still waiting for it to happen.
Oh, I see. You're not there yet.
I'm waiting for this part of my life to take off.
Well, perhaps when talking about taking off, perhaps when this virus is all settled down and we can go flying again, we could go to Ibiza and go to a trance club together and see how we get on. So what happened? I didn't go to any of these Freddie Mercury parties, which is a bit, you know, a bit much really, considering I live next door to him.
I've never been to one of his parties either, which was a shame. But I have some stats here, and I know you're a fan of stats, Tony.
I love stats, yeah.
Now, there were 350 bottles of Moët & Chandon champagne. That's a lot of bottles.
It's a lot of bottles.
There were two cakes baked for this party.
Yep.
The first one was shaped of Gaudi's famous Sagrada Familia. In Barcelona, but it collapsed under the weight of its own grandeur. So they had to make another cake, which was just a 6 foot long sponge.
Well, you wouldn't know how wide it was.
Well, there you go, because it could be like a mini roll, which
roll.
Yeah, but it'd be long, but it'd be very thin.
Well, how many eggs you'd have to use for that? I mean, you're the expert.
Was that a joke, or was that just one of those?
No. I mean, I saw you on Celebrity Bake Off.
Oh,
you did a marvellous job.
Well, there you go. I don't know how high it is or how wide it is. It's only given the length. So I'd just probably say 150.
150 eggs?
Yeah. I'm just guessing, though. Okay, then. Back to stats about his party. It took 3 days to inflate all the balloons. Now, again, that's a good stat, but we don't know how many people were inflating them. Or whether they had a pump or not. If it was like one man and he was like 105 years old, blowing up some balloons, he could have just done like 15 in just 3 days. You know what I mean? So it depends on how many people were blowing them up, whether they had a pump, how big the balloons were being blown up. Were the people that were blowing them up tying them as well? Because that's tricky.
Tying them, you always get. It's difficult that bit, isn't it?
Yeah.
I would have thought Freddie Mercury being spending all this money on a party, and say he had 350 balloons. He could, as it were, like hiring extras, 350 people to blow up individual balloons.
One each?
Yeah, one each.
That
would have solved the problem, wouldn't it?
But if I was going to throw on these parties and there were three, and I wanted, let's say I wanted 500 balloons.
Yeah.
And I'd invited 100 people. I'd give them all 5 balloons as they walked through the door. And I'd say, get these blown up before you have a drink.
That's a great idea.
And then you'd have a load of balloons. Yeah. By the time everyone arrived.
Yeah.
I've got numbers on about how many people are here. So they could have had 700 balloons if they'd just given a balloon to each person, because the guest list was 700 strong and read like a who's who. A who's who of Julio Iglesias. That's the first on the list. Julio Iglesias was there.
Yeah.
What did he sing? When We Begin. Is that what he sang? To All the Girls I Loved Before.
I love the action, don't you? Yeah, to all the girls.
Grace Jones was there.
Oh, my goodness me. She was one who attacked Russell Harty, wasn't she?
She was, yes.
Yeah.
Or was that Emu? Emu and Grace Jones,
Emu
the same
was,
person?
No, Michael Parkinson.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah. That's going to be funny when you think about it, to be talking to something on the end of your hand, really, isn't it? You know, I mean... It's weird, isn't it? I mean, you hold your hand up and up there. Hello, how are you? I'm all right. Can you talk without opening your mouth or not? Bottle of beer.
I don't know. Well, you're not here. I mean, you're not here. So, hang on. I can hide behind the microphone.
Yeah, I'll try. Oh, that's good.
Can you see? Can you see you talking? Can you see me talking now?
I can see. No, not really. You're very good. If it all goes wrong, you could take this up as a profession. Yeah. It's really good. Both of us could. We could do a double act.
The trouble is with doing a ventriloquist is that my voice isn't funny enough.
Well, I don't know. You can make it funny, can't you?
Hello there. I need a character. Hello there.
Yeah. I've got a bit of tea in front of me. I'm going to do it now and at the same time drink some tea, all right?
Oh, I'd like to see this.
All right, this is a bit content. Visual, but...
Don't worry, it's too visual. Wow.
How was that?
It's very good. It's very good that, Tony. I'm really good at this.
Yeah, we're both good at it, aren't we?
I think the thing is, what you've got to do is you've got to make your face look real like... I sound like Janet Streetwater. Hello, Janet Streetwater, yeah? I'm going to get a ventriloquist doll that looks like Janet Streetwater.
That's a great idea.
And I'll have her there, and she'll say, hello, welcome to Swimming. It's me, Janet Streetwater.
That's good. Yeah. That's good. Well, I think it's a career there.
Okay, back to the party. She wasn't at the party, Janet Streetwater. Or was she? You never know.
No, I don't think she was.
Jean-Claude Van Damme was there. Kylie Minogue was there. Yes, we should have got her on the line. Bon Jovi was there. Either the man or all of them. Boy George, Tony Curtis. I love Tony Curtis. What a man.
Yeah, so do I.
Spandau Ballet and Robert Plant.
So who have we got as one of our experts? Have we got any experts? Have you managed to fix those up?
Well, yeah, because also on my list of stats, it said the firework display at the end of the night could be reportedly seen from Mallorca, which is almost 100 miles away. Now, that seems like a myth that we can bust.
Yeah, I would have thought so.
Because we weren't there. We'll get on to that, who was there later on. But can you see fireworks from 100 miles away? I know, in my Rolodex, I have a firework guy, Tony.
Really? Who's that?
Well, his name is Andy Hubble. Oh, like the
Hubble Bubble Boil and Trouble.
Or Hubble like the Hubble Telescope, which looks
Hubble
into
telescope.
Space.
Hubble Telescope, yes.
He's a fireworks expert and the owner of Star Fireworks. Give him a bit of publicity. One of the country's top pyrotechnics experts. He's some bright spark. That's one of yours, isn't it, Tony?
Well, I bet he, when he started this business, I imagine he was very glad it took off.
Yeah, didn't fizzle out?
No, not at all, no.
I'll try and get him on the phone now. One of our country's top pyrotechnic expert, Andy Hubble, on the conference call right now.
Caller joining. Caller joining.
Hello, Andy Hubble. Are you there?
Hi, Andy.
I am, yes.
It's great.
How's the firework business?
Ooh. Well, it's very quiet at the moment.
Wow. So it really is affecting everyone. Where fireworks, you'd think that it's something we can all enjoy from a distance. But then there's who's going to pay for that? Because you need to get everyone there to enjoy a festival or something.
What's the biggest firework display you've ever put on, Andy?
We've put on loads in central London parks. And we've also done some really big competition show displays as well. We're the current British firework champion of champions, beating all the past champions. But every year we do shows up and down the country for Guy Fawkes, right from Scotland down to the south coast, entertaining thousands and thousands.
Fireworks incredible because you are in it together because you're all looking stupid because you're craning your necks upwards and you're all making noises that you don't usually make because we... instinctively go ooh when we see a firework, and it's impossible not to. It's like drinking a cup of tea and not going at the end of it.
Lovely.
When you see a firework, you go ooh, and if you don't, you're a psychopath. Do you agree on that, Andy?
I completely agree. If I see a good firework, it always brings a smile to my face.
What I've always
wanted to ask is that, you know, when you put on a big firework display and the weather in this country is pretty awful a lot of the time. So you put on this big display, everybody's there, and then the rain comes down. How do you keep your matches dry?
Very good question. Well, all of the fireworks are waterproofed, so they're absolutely covered in plastic. When the fireworks go off, they simply punch through the plastic or even burn themselves a hole through the plastic and just carry on. So even in the most torrential rain, we can still fire 100% of the firework display.
Wow. And you do it on little buttons, do you?
Yeah, a computer firing system. Yeah. And the firing system preloads all of the fireworks into it. It knows exactly when to let them off so that they burst in time with the music.
I'd like to see the size of your biscuit tin. but the thing is, so when they're fired off, now you might not want to answer this, Is it all pre-programmed, or does someone ride it like a DJ might put faders up, or is it all pre-done?
Yeah, it's all pre-done. It's all designed back in the studio so that they will burst on the exact beat of the music. Mm. And then the guys that take the show out on the road, they set the fireworks up in accordance with some instructions, a bit like flat pack furniture. And then when they're ready, you hit the fire button and off the show goes.
I love fireworks, right? And I always have done it. And when I do festivals and they have fireworks, I'm always sniffing around the fireworks, literally and metaphorically, to have a look and see what's going on.
Well, you like the smell of fireworks?
I love the smell of a firework. You know you've had a good night.
Which is your favourite? A rocket or a Vesuvius?
It's just the general odour of fireworks have been in this area. Mm. But the problem is, when I'm on stage, they're usually behind the stage and they shoot over from behind. So I never get to see our fireworks. So sometimes I ask if they can do a little one about an hour later once I've got out of the shower, just for me.
Really?
We've actually done some for you, Ricky.
Yes.
Yes.
When was this?
A few years ago, we did them for the Kaiser Chiefs at Carfest.
Yeah.
And all the audience could see an amazing view of it. But unfortunately, you guys never get to see them.
Well, you'll sometimes see me run off stage to see them, because I can't, because if everyone's looking at them, they're not looking at me, so I'll run out the back and have a quick look, then run back and finish off. Are they a very British invention, fireworks?
There's a lot of countries. The Chinese have a museum.
Of course, the Chinese fireworks. What am I thinking? They invented everything.
Yeah, when we go to China to buy fireworks each year, they have a fantastic museum there that shows all of the history of the fireworks and when they first invented gunpowder, as they say, and when they first put it into fireworks. But all countries all over the world do it so differently. The Japanese fireworks are stunning. They make effects called ghost shells, and they sequence through colours and create patterns up in the sky like nobody else can do.
So who invents all these? You know, can you take it a stage further or not? Or does somebody say, I want to have their happy birthday so-and-so in the sky? And it must be quite difficult.
It is difficult, but if you wanted me to do that up in the air and to write Tony, I could create a firework that's fired up like a cannonball up into the sky, and it might have inside it the letter T, and then we have the other three letters. Wow. But the problem with that is when we fire those up into the air, we don't know which way they're going to turn up. So we can end up turning an M into a W and it all starts to go wrong. So we have to do that. But we do get fireworks manufactured the way we want. So for my company, we go out to China several times a year and the Chinese will make the fireworks exactly the way we want. So at the moment, there's a really big move towards low noise fireworks displays and pet friendly fireworks displays, and that pets can come out. And we've actually tested this. We've gone to one of the densely populated area with horses, fired off fireworks displays, and the horses, which are normally panicked, actually stood and watched. And it was a big
really?
Show.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's their favourite firework, do you think? Is it the rocket or is it the...
It was the horse tail.
The horse tail. Thing is, but we're specifically thinking here about Freddie Mercury's display, which was said to have been seen from Mallorca in Ibiza. Do you think this is possible?
100 miles.
100 miles.
Yeah.
Okay. So a 12-inch shell, which would be a really, really big shell, they go up about 1,100 feet. That's about 350 meters.
Uh-huh.
So the height really is not high enough for you to be able to see everything from 100 miles away. Right. So I know it was really big show. I know it was a very famous show, but I'm not sure you would have seen it that far.
No. Okay. In other words, we can say that that's nonsense, really, being able to see a firework display from 100 miles away.
I think you can.
Okay. Even if
we
the
know it's
flashing...
Nonsense.
Even if, oh, okay. We know it's nonsense. Okay. So that's cleared that up. Well, that's brilliant. I'm really happy about that. But have you done any other famous celebrities' private parties?
Yeah. One of the ones that we did a show in Ronnie Wood's back garden,
right?
Which was really nice. That was really good. We
you had to move you had to move the rotary washing line, of course.
He had a nice tent up in there, and we had to put the fireworks behind his greenhouse.
Okay,
You didn't do... I went to a Noel Edmonds' 60th birthday party.
Okay.
And when he lived in Devon. And he had a wonderful firework display there. I did my performance of YMCA, which was followed by a brilliant firework display. And you didn't do that, Andy.
No, not us.
Woke all the neighbours up. Why is it? This might be a stupid question. But when I, in the old days, when I used to let off fireworks myself, you'd put a rocket in a bottle, wouldn't you?
A milk
bottle, and let the thing off. And it's got a, you know, obviously a bit of stick attached to it. Why is it never falls on somebody?
Oh, yeah, because, yes, where did it go?
When it comes down.
Oh, this is interesting.
I mean, I've never been hit.
Because he's looking sheepish.
I've never been hit by a rocket. Have you ever been hit by a rocket at all or not?
No, Ricky? I've not been hit by a rocket, but I've heard a lot of them land. And the other thing that I've done is I've seen them come down in daylight. They float back down to the ground like a feather.
Oh.
And that's why we don't get loads and loads of cars with dents in at Guy Fawkes Night and that kind of thing. Greenhouses with holes in them.
So I haven't thought about this because your work is pretty much night work then.
It is night work, but when we're testing fireworks, we will do it in the daytime.
Yeah.
When we're in China, we'll see things in the daytime.
So they are inventing new types of fireworks, are they, the whole time?
Yeah, absolutely. I was in China beginning of January. And we were watching brand new effects that we hadn't seen there. You'd think that they couldn't give you anything new. They'd been making them for so long.
So with the plethora of talent shows on TV at the moment, and you've been a judge at firework competitions, I think this is a great new idea for, you know, they've got the Sewing Bee, the Bake Off, the Voice, all these shows. You could be the Len Goodman of the firework community and globetrotting, judging fireworks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great. Yeah.
Give that a go.
So what are you looking for in as a judge, a firework judge, what are you actually looking for? Is it the effects, a brand new thing that you've never seen before? Is that what counts?
That's part of it. The colours and the effects, but also the timing, patterns, rhythm in the fireworks display. You can have bangs going off and fireworks bursting so that they're making a particular beat and following a particular pattern or a track. And just it's the general creativity overall.
And everyone likes, because they know that there's got to be a full stop at a fireworks display. So there's always going to be one at the end where you know this is a... Like, you see a big one and then it carries on. You think, how it's going to get better because there's going to be one at the end. It's always one of those that's a big, like a chrysanthemum, like a big flower. And I love that moment.
Have you ever sort of blown yourself up by mistake or not?
Well, that's a very delicate question.
Because it does say, you know, light the touch paper and then come back.
They call them three fingers, Andy.
Because when we were younger, I'll be honest with you, we used to have these bangers and we used to throw them at people or at one another. It's awful, I know, to admit, but I mean, you know, I'm talking about back in the 50s.
It's people like you that ruin it for everyone, Tony.
I know, but you know, we just got these bangers and you'd throw it and people would get out the way. I mean, not at people you didn't know. But they used to, they were quite something, those, but we didn't think about it. I mean, very dangerous.
I'll tell you what, Tony, in this country, the answer to that is no. No, I haven't, Tony.
You haven't blown yourself up, no.
No.
Andy, if you need to test any fireworks, let's say around the end of December, and I could find a field for you to test them. I'm getting married on the same day. But that's by the by. But if you wanted to come and test them, let's say around 9 o'clock, and if you had the words grace, that would be fantastic. So just putting that in your mind, I've got a great field. You know, I'll let you have it free of charge, of course. But if you want to test them late to September, that's great.
Next. Brilliant. I'll bear it in mind.
Thank you very much for speaking to Sandy. We've had a great time talking to you, and you've taught us a lot about fireworks, but most importantly, you've dispelled some myths that the fireworks could not be seen from 100 miles away. Thank you very much for that, Andy. And
thank you, Andy.
Good luck. I hope your career burns bright.
Can't say to you we hope your business takes off, because it already has.
Yeah, but you one day might want to light that touch paper and retire.
Let's hope it never fizzles out.
Okay. Thanks, Andy. Lovely to speak to you.
Their brain neurons spark like a faulty neon sign in a dark, rain-soaked alleyway. Ricky and Tony, pop detectives.
I'll tell you what, Ricky, I think it might be important, if we can, to talk to somebody who was at this famous Freddie Mercury party. I would have thought that was the obvious thing to
do. But we can't really talk to any of the guests because they wouldn't want to divulge too much as a guest at the party. So we need someone there who was specifically there to document it. And I think you have someone in mind, don't you, Tony?
I do, actually. A very famous photographer, celebrity photographer, Richard Young.
And I do have him in my Rolodex. I think it's under R. If it's not under R, it'll be under Y. Richard Young on the conference call. Let's get him in.
Caller joining. Caller joining.
Richard, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Thank you.
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you for joining us and being able to fill in the very sketchy gaps we have about this famous 41st birthday party that Freddie Mercury had at Pike's Hotel. Now, is it true that you were actually there?
I was there. I photographed it, like I did many of Freddie's birthday parties, hat parties, at-home parties, various parties all around the world, I guess. But
how is it you got into this business, Richard? Because a lot of photographers don't get to... I mean, celebrities are trying to avoid having their photographs taken.
Me too.
Whereas with you, it's totally different, isn't it? I mean, people want their photographs taken.
Yeah, well, it's the way you approach it and with the right attitude and the way that you befriend the celebrity. If you go in there like a moron and kind of and be aggressive and everything, then you're not going to get very much from them. But if you go there with a smile on your face, a little bit of cheekiness, a little bit of chutzpah, and you know, a genuine kind of goodwill situation or goodwill feeling, then they're going to open up to you.
Like a little bit of trust.
Yeah, involved. trust is the ultimate word, really.
Yeah. No, but I've been in a situation before where I've gone to an event and I've gone there and I've seen you, Richard, and you've taken my photograph and I think, good, I can go now because people knew I was there. It's like a tree falls in a forest. If you don't have your picture taken, you didn't go to the party.
That's right.
It's always great to see you there because you actually mean that I can get an early night.
Exactly.
So I'm very grateful.
Well, I'm getting a lot of early nights lately.
Well, there must be quite a lot of research in your job. So watching TV isn't laziness, because you must have to keep up with who are the hot new faces in town that you've got to recognise.
Yeah, but I'm only watching Tipping Point. You know,
and the celebrities that go on that aren't that big at all, because I've been on Tipping Point and I'll go on anything.
I know, I think I watched you.
I won it though. I bloody won it.
You won it, great.
Do you find nowadays, I find that I watch celebrity shows and most of the time my wife and I were trying to work out who the celebrities are.
Oh yeah.
Well, I'm doing that when I go to parties.
That?
I mean, most of the thing. I go to a film premiere. I'll be standing outside a film premiere. I'm going, and I'll be asking the photographer next to me, "Who's that?"
Well, the thing is, you know, I do think. Am I right in thinking that celebrity is a lot more fleeting than it used to be? You have a lot less time in the sun as you used
to. Well, let's put it this way: Andy Warhol said you'll be famous for 15 minutes. Now it's only 5 seconds. So you know, what can I tell you? That answers that question, really.
Who is the most famous celebrity that you've photographed, do you think?
Oh, my God. I know you photographed all of them. Yeah, I have. The people that I really enjoyed photographing has been Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton, because they came along really early in my career, and it was a real breakthrough period. It was 1974. I've only been a photographer less than a year. I gatecrashed Richard Burton's 50th birthday party at the Dorchester Hotel. I became the assistant DJ because there was no one else in the room at the time when I gatecrashed. Right, so Tony, I was doing a thing like you do, you know, put the vinyl on, leave it on a few seconds, and anyway, in those days, I was putting the vinyl on, waiting for the party to commence and everything. But for some strange reason, I never took a photograph until the birthday cake came in, which was a few hours later. By which time, Peter, the DJ, had gone off to have a few drinks, came back drunk, and I'm still DJing. So it was. I mean, anything could have happened that night. I mean, I could have forgotten to take any photographs, but thank God I didn't, and it was a breakthrough period of my whole career. But I really enjoyed my relationship, which later became quite incredible with Elizabeth Taylor. I mean, we became very dear friends, and if ever she was in London, I would always get a call from her publicist, saying Elizabeth Taylor's going out somewhere tonight and she would love you to be there. And that's the way it's been with a lot of very, very famous people. You know, you get a phone call saying they like you, they like your company. Would you mind coming and take some pictures of them at the party they're at or a restaurant they're going to, you know?
Mm. So, I mean, this is a delicate thing, but in a lot of cases, you must have a lot of great pictures of people that they're very happy about, and they probably invite you back because they know they've got you've got some of them that they wouldn't be happy about. I'm not talking in some kind of leverage kind of way. I'm talking about the fact that the trust comes from the fact that you've always been there, and they know they've always been seen in a good light. And it's almost like I always think, if I had a cow, I'd rather have milk for the rest of my life than steak for one day.
Right. Right.
So, well, Tony's a vegetarian. You'll agree with that.
Yeah, and I don't drink milk.
I don't like... No, neither I don't. Neither do I. Soya milk.
So it's a really bad analogy. Yeah. But what I'm trying to say is that...
No, I liked it.
But that your long-term relationships are a lot more important than, let's say, you know, some of the photography community who are just after that one big money shot.
Absolutely. And, you know, going back to my relationship with Freddie, which was very, very important to me, and I loved it very, very much. I worked with him for 11 years, and 11 years, the weird thing about working with Freddie, and as much as I loved it and it was wonderful, at the time, you don't realize how important it was going to be years later, in the sense of having this whole back catalogue of photographs of Freddie Mercury's birthday parties, shows. We went to Rio, to the Rock in Rio, the first one. Did about, I must have done about 6 or 7 or 8 birthday parties of his in various locations around Europe or London. And, you know, the concerts, you know, loads of, and the videos. We used to do all these videos at either Shepperton or Pinewood, you know, for some of the music that he was making. Some of it was absolutely amazing. I mean, he was
He must have trusted you a lot, Richard, because these parties were pretty wild, weren't they?
They were
now,
very...
I mean, I was a friend of Kenny Everett, so I never went to these parties, but Kenny used to tell me about... things that used to go on there. Now, to have a photographer there like yourself, it's a gift, isn't it? So there must have been this terrific trust between you and Freddie.
Well, let's put it this way. Where trust comes in is a certain line, a certain boundary you don't cross. Mm. And long as you don't cross that line, I know one or two photographers that would. I didn't, because I knew discretion was a great power to have. And to hold back from seeing situations and things going down, which I'm not going to talk about now. But you know, you're just going to be discreet and intelligent in the sense of controlling your finger on the button, and that's it.
Would there be a moment where you took the photographs and then just never showed them, or would there be a moment where you actually put the camera away?
Wait a minute, hang on, there's some in the cabinet here. Hang on. Sorry, I don't have many of those photographs, I'm afraid.
Right.
I mean, I mean, people think that, you know, we've got this whole hidden kind of bank of photographs of people doing very indiscreet things. You know, I'll be very honest with you, we don't. We don't, because we use our intelligence and our, you know, about not doing it and being very discreet, because that's why for 11 years, Freddie would all get on the phone and say to me, "Hey, I'm having this party. I want you to, you know, be there, you know." And when Freddie rang me up personally and said to me, "Richard, I'm having my 39th birthday party in a place called Henderson's in Munich, and it's a drag ball." And I said, "No problem, Freddie." He said, "Everybody's coming in drag." I said, "Not a problem." He said, "Everybody." So I thought, right. Yeah. Okay. So my wife comes home from work and I said, "Oh, Fred has been on the phone. He wants me to go to Munich next week. He's got his 39th birthday party. It's a drag ball. I got to be in drag too." So she gave me this lovely black dress, right? And tights and kitten heels. But we had a problem, as you can see, with the hair and everything, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So we had a bit of a problem there. So she goes,
"But your wife's clothes fit you, though."
Everything fit. I was a size 10 there. It was all right. It was cool. And she went off to Selfridges, and she went up to the wig counter. She said, "I want a nice flowing wig for my husband, something nice and dark and everything." So the girl behind the counter said, "Don't worry, darling. We have lots like you in here." So there I am with my wig. I go off to Munich. We're in the Hilton in Munich. We had a makeup artist doing our eyes. And I must say, when I looked at myself in the mirror and saw the way he did my eyes, I went, not bad at all. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun. But, you know, even going on the road with Freddie, I must say this very quickly, but going on the road with Freddie and with Queen, they always thought about you. So you were part of the band, so to speak, you know, and Freddie fantastic. Always took care of me.
I can't really stress enough, how important and great it is when you have someone documenting you on the road, especially photographs, because we've taken on a couple of occasions someone with us, and we always have a much better time when there's a photographer there. A guy called Danny North come with us, and our old friend Tim used to come and video us and take pictures, and you tend to find yourself enjoying yourself a lot more and not being so insular. You don't sit in your room all day because you go and find something to look at and have a picture taken. So
you're in a different league, actually, because you've got a photographer following you around and things like that. I have to take selfies.
One of the things one of the things I enjoyed about working with Queen and being on tour with them was that Freddie had this thing about, don't worry about photographing me so much, but make sure you're on stage and you're getting the audience. Mm. And what I used to do is I used to speak to the lighting guys and say to them, look, if you see me wandering around the stage knocking over Roger Cymbals or something, that is the time to put the house lights on so I can see the audience and I get Freddie kind of into the frame, and you see him looking out into the audience, conducting the choir for, you know, Radio Gaga or whatever song that, you know, you may be singing at the time, because the crowd anticipation and their involvement is incredible, because they're all clapping at the same time, and it's just incredible. It made such great photographs.
All these people you've taken photographs of, the famous people over the years, is there one photograph that you've taken which is your personal favourite?
Well, it's going back again to me talking about Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton. On the night of Richard Burton's 50th birthday party, I did this iconic image of the two of them kissing in a very, very beautiful embrace. It was fantastic. And not knowing if I had it or not, only for the reason being that while I was acting as being the assistant DJ, I left my camera on the floor and left the flash on. But when it came to taking the actual pictures, only certain flashes went off. So when I got kidnapped by the Daily Mirror as I left the Dorchester, when this reporter said to me, did you get in? And me being so excited, said, yeah, I got it exclusive, and threw me into the back of a taxi and took me over to the Daily Mirror. And suddenly they processed the film, and the man came out the dark room, I remember, saying, bit thin, mate. The negatives are a bit thin. and so they managed to make some prints up, and luckily the main picture, which was them kissing, was number one, and the number two was Richard Burton and Liz Taylor blowing out the birthday candles. They both came out fine, thank God. I doubt I'd be here now telling you about it.
So they're literally like your I Predict a Riot is for me. They're your big hit.
They were number one worldwide on all the charts.
Exactly. Well, thank you very much for talking to us. I know you couldn't let too much slip on things that you've seen, but you've been incredibly enlightening and help us get a lot closer to our solving of this, the Freddie Mercury case. And thank you very much, Richard. And we hope to see you at a party soon. Have a good afternoon. Bye.
Putting what's off the record on the record. Ricky and Tony, Pop Detectives.
Richard Young there, photographer of the stars, met so many famous people, taken their photographs, and they all seem to have an embedded trust in him that he won't shop them in for doing anything they shouldn't be doing, which celebrities often do.
Well, I think we've known him, both of us have known him over the years, haven't we? And I recognise him immediately, and you know, he's one of those people you trust.
Yeah, he's never followed me into the urinals. That's why he gets all the best shots. But Richard Young, I can recommend his gallery, the Richard Young Gallery. Look it up, and you can go visit there. So on this occasion, I think from what we've heard from Richard, and from you, what you and me have both heard from other people, I know it's hearsay, but I think we can put a blanket like across the board, if people, if it's mentioned that it's happened and it's continued its momentum, then these stories are possibly true.
Yes, I mean, I have another source that, not an HP source or a tomato source, I'm talking about a source with Kenny Everett, who is a
friend
of mine.
Yeah, of course.
And he went to these parties, so I'm not going to say exactly what he said to me, but I think they were pretty wild, let's put it that way.
Sounds like we've got a case solved here, because we also got the information that you wouldn't be able to see the fireworks from Mallorca in Ibiza. So that's it kind of wrapped up for today.
I think it's wrapped it up, yeah.
Yeah. Freddie Mercury, fabulous party thrower. Wish I could have gone to one.
Yeah.
A lot of people probably don't remember going to them.
I would have loved to have gone to them because I lived next door, but I never got invited.
You were the one banging on the wall with a broom, were you?
Yes, absolutely.
keep it down in there. And I'm not talking about the music. I think this is case solved for us today, is it, Tony?
I think it is case solved. I've got the stamp.
Okay, so get the stamp.
Yep.
Stamp it.
Case solved.
So if you're out there and you have any other mysteries you'd like solving by me and Tony, all tip-offs are welcome, and we'll protect your anonymity, unless you want a little bit of fame, and we'll read your name out on the podcast. So get in touch at rickyandtony.com, or send us an email to podcast@rickyandtony.com, and find us on Twitter at @RickyandTonyPod. Do you think that wraps up today's episode, Tony?
Do you know, I think it does. I think we've done although I say it myself, you can probably hear me giving ourselves a pat on the back.
Yeah, don't do it with the stamp, though, because you'll have case solved.
No, exactly.
All over your... Well, no. Are you wearing any clothes at the moment?
No, not at all. No.
Well, it's Thursday, isn't it?
Yes, Thursday. It is, yeah. But, I think we've done a good job on that.
Yeah, I did. I do love fireworks, and I really enjoyed speaking to Andy.
And I think we can say that Andy had a very explosive personality as well. I thought he was great.
I think we could...
A real sparkler.
You just pit me there to the post on that one. I haven't got any more firework jokes at all. I think we've exhausted the firework puns, finally. And on that note, thank you very much for listening to Ricky and Tony's Pop Detectives. We're the best in the biz.
The music business was mean, but Ricky and Tony could do mean. They were born for it, like a mayfly was born to die at the end of the day. They slammed shut the filing cabinet, pulled the cord on the Venetian blind, threw on their trench coats, and headed out into the rain. Until next time.